Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolate and a long stem rose. Everybody knows.
People with an alternative media choice of speaking truth to power. This isn't a global revolution, it's a global evolution, and we're all a family of Mother Earth, all brothers and sisters in the good health of our communities and our home. Here Be Monsters dedicates all broadcasts to the peacefully driven Occupy movement worldwide. We're in solidarity, and we are all the 99%. We're here every day that we can be, that Occupy is underway, and we're sponsored by Roundtree7.com. It's a great place where people are posting articles and pieces and all kinds of information and new thoughts. It's all about knowledge to the social consciousness. And that is Roundtree7, the number 7.com. And we're also sponsored by Daughters of Isis, a handmade company. Okay, this morning they raided San Francisco. It was an eviction. You know, they took all the personal belongings. They took the library and the kitchen. And again, they've dumped it all into big trash trucks. They've scooped it up and dumped it into trash trucks. You see a pattern here? Every large city this has gone on. And I'm thinking that they find people, the American people, and their redress of their government as very disposable. We're told by demonstration from them that this is a very disposable society. You're disposable, according to your government. They're showing that to you as they dump all your goods, all of who you are, all of your hopes and dreams, as it were, into the trash. And that brings us to, yesterday's day of national action with foreclosures. It's wonderful. Yesterday, folks from the Occupy Wall Street group went into Brooklyn and began to help folks, homeless families, occupy foreclosed properties. And this is going on everywhere, including my own hometown here of Lake Worth, where Glenn Geronimo is being occupied by Occupy Palm Beach in help with his situation with the bank. You know, people aren't looking for a free ride here. What they're looking for is help from their government and help from the banks. This is an overwhelming crisis, and no one is addressing it because the banks aren't addressing it. Their way of addressing it is to simply put the hammer down, slice the people off, carve themselves another notch, and it's not working. So if you have the opportunity, if you have the time, please remember there are people that you might not be aware of, like a neighbor across the street, across the hall. You know, I know a lot of folks that live in large urban areas, have these wonderful apartments and condominiums, and you just never know that person that you smile at and say hello to casually, really don't know too well, might be under the most incredible pressure every night before they close their eyes or try to every night, under threat of foreclosure. Certainly people see it. I've heard tales of folks seeing the sheriffs come and pin papers to folks' door. You know, this is the house six houses down, somebody's door got papers pinned on it actually yesterday afternoon. It's everybody knows, you know, everybody knows that they're winning. We have to have some wins. And every time an Occupy group goes in and takes a risk by putting homeless people into foreclosed properties, by going and filling the parks, by these Chicagoans. You hear about the Chicagoans that got their butts down to Washington, D.C. this week and were sitting out in front of their congressman's office. Hey, Brian, nice to see you, buddy. Their congressman, and I looked for his name, couldn't find it, but it made a very provocative video that you can find right now on YouTube or running around Facebook. It's on the Occupy WallStreet.org site. But these Chicagoans went down there and they camped out. You know, they're doing that. Now it's another tactic. Go to the Congress office building and sit in on your congressman's office. They really can't throw you out of there if you are a citizen, part of his constituency. But the guy is avoiding him. All of these Congress people are avoiding him. If an Occupy group shows up, they get the fuck out of the way fast. They're gone. Boom, boom, boom. It's really quite crazy. So they raided San Francisco today. They're going to be back. You can bet your ass they're going to be back, just like Oakland, just like Wall Street. There's a new tactic underway. I heard it said by the first night Yank Uger was on with his Young Turks, now a staple on current television before Keith Olbermann's Countdown. He said that there was, you know, the talk of has Occupy faded away? Absolutely not. You see more and more things happening. We're talking about very creative people here. You know, Americans, people all over the world, really. And that's the other thing I always want to be reinforcing here, is this is not just an American or North American. It's a South American, it's a completely planetary movement. occupy everywhere, okay? Let's not forget about that all too often. It has been lately. But as I was saying, we're told that this, by the demonstration of the establishment that comes on down with the police and the maintenance people for the city that begin to trash the Occupy encampments, that this is a disposable society, that you and I are disposable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't get the ecosystem, do they? I mean, especially the folks enjoying the sweat of other folks' brows. They don't understand the ecosystem, but they will. They will sooner or later. I think this is going to grow, and throughout this winter, it will swell, just like Punk Patriot's words about the surfer and the wave. The wave is building. We're doing the undertow right now. We're drawing back. But boy, when that wave crashes in the springtime, I think it's certainly going to be something. I'm planning on being there. I think the destination is Washington. Okay, so I have a little announcement. If anyone out there is of the praying persuasion or just sending good energy, if you do, our video blogger, Kevin Blanche, is fighting for his life right now. And if you have any good intentions or energy that you can spare for Kevin before you go to sleep or whatever, just send him some light and healing, because he's in need. Okay, so I also thought it'd be really nice to pass on some of the information that I've been looking at all day. Time magazine, and I've been with Alternet most of the day, so you know. Time magazine has chosen Occupy Wall Street as its biggest story of 2011. What they said was the sheer persistence of the occupations, galvanized by instances of heavy-handed police in New York and California that absolutely shocked the nation, have given the protesters appeals for economic justice, a weight that may play a real role in the upcoming presidential election. And that's gotten underway, hasn't it? Did you notice that President Obama was glad to sort of steal a little bit of Occupy fire in his let's go be in the place and time that another rabble-rouser that liberals admire was speech on payroll taxes yesterday. I'm of the mind now with this particular politician who happens to be president right now, whom I worked very hard to help elect, and he disappointed me a great deal. He's disappointed most of us a great deal. But I walked a different direction when BP began to run this country through his lack of leadership skills. He is an excellent orator. Our president knows how to kick the tires and light the fires. But follow through, as my dear departed mother used to say, this fellow's all show and he's no stay whatsoever. In South Carolina, the Occupy Columbia people that were arrested by Nikki Haley's stormtroopers had their charges dropped for defying the governor's orders to withdraw from the State House grounds. Thank you, Brian Smith, for that update. Appreciate it. It's right there in the archives now. Thank you. So it is campaign season. We've been watching the buffoonery that's going on from the Republican side. Now we get to see what's going to happen from the Democrat side. It would be nice to see another contender out there, even just to boost the awareness of the rest of the country right now. But I'll tell you, awareness is being boosted Yesterday, the majority whip was giving a speech, Eric Cantor, and Occupy disrupted him. They're all walking away from the Occupy groups. They're not just walking, they're running away from the Occupy groups, the Republicrats. And, of course, now there's no reason for Mr. Frank to run away because he's announced that he is not going to be seeking his seat again. You know, Barney Frank did a lot of good things for this country. I think he had really wonderful intentions, but he has been so, you know, whipped by the duplicity and corruption of Washington. I don't for one minute think Mr. Frank is a corrupt politician. I think that he is a beaten politician. I think he did so much and so hard and got absolutely no backup from the White House, by the way. I think that Mr. Frank just sort of got angry there at the end because the last time I saw him speak, well, was Countdown, where he was rather jaded too. But I saw him on Rachel Maddow, and he actually blamed the voters, the constituency, for his failures with the Dodd-Frank bill. That was wrong. And I think his choice, I think he might have seen that, and he made a choice. But, you know, the fellow will go on whatever green, purple, dark horse, whatever talking circuit and make a comfortable living after he steps down from politics. You never know. He might get back into it in a local way. But Mr. Frank, he got his ass kicked. And he got his ass kicked because nobody backed him up. So Mr. Frank is gone. Bernie Sanders is still there. Dennis Kucinich is still there. These delightful, you know, like Mr. Kucinich is part libertarian. He's not all as gussied up as we'd like to see him on the liberal side. But he definitely is a whole hell of a lot more integritous than almost any other. Bernie Sanders is too. There are politicians out there, but it's the campaigning season. We're going to step up to the Kool-Aid stand or not. We're going to stay informed or we're going to go drink Kool-Aid, is my thought on it. The question goes around, would Eleanor Roosevelt, a personal hero, I don't know how many other folks think much of old Ellie, but I certainly did. I certainly thought that her integrity was well placed when she was trying to put together the UN or the United Nations. But they said, would Eleanor Roosevelt support Occupy Wall Street? Well, you know what she said, she urged, especially the people who read her consistently, to take political action to address their concerns. So I'd give that a hearty yes. Now I'm going to be promoting here some of the reading that I did before catching up this afternoon after work. And Prometheus Brown, MC, an Al Jazeera MC, described his weeks of traveling to the different Occupy Wall Street camps, the Occupy encampments around the country, and says that he's become convinced that the Occupy movement is an early rebellion stage of something that's potentially much larger. And despite its shortcomings, and I'm wondering what those really are, but of course they're out there. It deserves our attention and even more our participation. So if you would pass that around, folks, all you nice listeners in the archives and live, you know, remember, keep promoting Occupy. But anyway, I'd say it's all about the awakening of America and the planet, and it's the biggest story of the new millennia, I think. Well, we're meant to evolve here, and this all appears to be the first step in that. You know, it's good to keep in mind that it's like chicken one day, feathers the next, and I got to say, with the campaign season underway, you got to remember that here comes a revised version of Hope and Change. She's already stealing Occupy Fire with a few buzzwords. We see that. He's borrowing from those leaders that were successful in winning back or winning over the population in a popular contest, which he's been very good at. The question is, will people believe him? Geez, he's robbing stats and just a bit of buzzwording from the Occupy movement. He spoke yesterday on the payroll taxes, and he spoke about the inequity of the 1% over the rest. But we got to keep in mind in this season. Please keep in mind the new turn for Occupy. It's gone towards occupying for homeless people and keeping people in their homes under the foreclosure for the rest of the winter, under the foreclosure threats. But I found a piece on Alternet that I'd like to relate, and it talks about how the Obama administration has actually not only kept but supported and maintained many of the personal rights that the Patriot Act disposed of. They have actually extended it, and there's ways they've done it. There is a fundamental difference between the Bush presidency and the Obama presidency and the domestic civil liberties. In that venue, what would you think? Do you think that Bush made more dents in it, in our personal civil liberties? Or has Obama done more than just maintain the dents made by Bush? This administration has firmed, continued, and expanded almost all of the draconian domestic civil liberties intrusions that were pioneered in by the Bush administration. There's some examples here. Serious assaults on domestic rights to freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of association, the right to privacy, the right to a fair trial, freedom of religion, and freedom of conscience that have occurred under the Obama administration since they've come in. With the Patriot Act, on May 27th of this year, Obama, over bipartisan objections, approved a congressional 4-year extension of controversial parts of the Patriot Act that were set to expire. In March of 2010, Obama signed similar extensions to the Patriot Act for a year. These provisions are going to allow the government, with permission from a special secret court — that's just fucking ridiculous — to seize records without your knowledge, the owner's knowledge, and to conduct secret surveillance on suspicious people who have no known ties to terrorist groups, and to obtain secret roving wiretaps on people. Everything you thought that the wet black ops of the CIA was doing only for writing up screenplays is actually happening. Obama, yes, we're getting there, Brian. He has been worse. He's supposed to be the one who supported rights, and instead he has held the same and fortified policies put forward by Bush. Yes, he has, and these are just some of them. I think it's a pretty comprehensive list. So we know we can get shit canned and black bagged. That's what it's called, black fucking bagging. Did y'all know that? I used to write about contemporary terrorism in the late 70s and early 80s. And that is what you call black bagging. And it's actually what terrorists do, taking you out, off the grid. So the Obama administration actually essentially made that real, whereas the Bush policy didn't quite have that real. Criminalization of dissent and militarization of police. That's been going on before our eyes. Criminalization of dissent. In other words, what the occupiers, and I as an occupier, and you listening, if you do, I'm with occupiers and support the groups, you're under the threat of being a criminal for your dissent. That's a First Amendment no-no for them to do. And the militarization of the police, that's not exactly the Minutemen, is it? Anyone who has gone to a peace or justice protest in recent years has seen it. The local police have been turned into SWAT teams and SWAT teams into heavily armored military. Officer friendly or even officer unfriendly has given way to police uniform like soldiers with SWAT shields, skin guards. They use sound equipment. They do jackbooting shit like banging their sticks in unison against their shields and marching in line towards you to break you up. They did that in Pittsburgh. That was pretty awful. That was son of a bitch and awful to the older people who were there to, you know, join the protest, a peaceful, mind you, we're talking strictly about peaceful protesting here. People's rights to redress their government. And we're getting hit with black bag affairs and militarization of the police. Obama has one promise, quote, he has kept. He is transparent. You got to be blind not to see that Obama is nothing but a conservative with a jackass on his lapel. Well, yeah, Republicrats, I hear you there, Brian. I do try to read into the show everybody's thoughts and observations from the chat room. So, guests, if you have something to say, please feel free to do so. Anyway, back to it. They do have those Ninja Turtle outfits on. They're accompanied by helicopters, special tanks, and sound blasting vehicles like the ones that were used in Iraq. Wireless fingerprint scanners, first used by troops in Iraq, are now being utilized by the local police department to check motorists. If you're in a line of motorists that have been stopped in a traffic check, they can go ahead now and tell you to put where they couldn't before. You know, we're talking whatever happened to Miranda. She's lost some fruit out of her hat, hasn't she? They can scan your fingerprints right there. That's horrifying. Facial recognition software has been introduced to our police officers also. And now, of course, drones, just like the ones used in Kosovo, Iraq, and Afghanistan, are being used all along the Mexican and Canadian borders. These things have all happened under the Obama administration. Geez, well, I'd love to see a friend of mine's response to that. And wiretaps for the oral, electronic, or wire communications approved by federal and state courts are at an all-time high. People are being tapped consistently. The criminalization of speech, Muslims, and the U.S. have been targeted by the Obama Department of Justice for inflammatory things they said or published on the Internet. Did you know that? First Amendment protection of freedom of speech, most recently stated in 1969 Supreme Court decision, Brandenburg versus Ohio, says the government can't punish inflammatory speech, even if it advocates violence, unless it is likely to incite or produce an action on the spot. a Pakistani resident living illegally living in the United States was indicted by the DOJ in September this year for uploading video onto YouTube. Let me repeat that, okay? A Pakistani resident who was legally living in the United States was indicted by the DOJ in September of this year for uploading a video onto YouTube. The DOJ said the video was supportive of terrorists, even though nothing on the video called for violence. We got to get the ACLU a whole shitload new division of lawyers to get on the ball, don't we? Holy crap. In July, the DOJ indicted a former Penn State student for going in onto websites and suggesting targets and providing a link to an explosive course already posted on the internet. That's tricky, too. That's extraordinarily tricky. I don't approve of it. I think it's horrible. Certainly somebody, a cuckoo. But, geez, yeah, Brian, the drones are patrolling the Canadian border. That means that a lot of our Washington State and Idaho and Montana, I believe, is along it, and New York, all of them, American citizens are also under the threat of drones. Jeez, but that's exactly what's happened. Domestic government spying on Muslim communities and activities that offered freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and several other laws. The New York Police Department and the CIA have partnered to conduct intelligence operations against Muslim communities in New York and elsewhere. Now, this is the CIA, which is prohibited from spying on Americans, in case you didn't know, works with the police on human mapping. That's a term commonly known for the racial profiling and religious profiling to spy on the Muslim community. You saw that happening with the New York City Police Department recently. It's been reported. And this is blatantly breaking people's civil rights. Under the Obama administration, however, the Associated Press reported in August of this year that informants known as moss crawlers, nice, monitor sermons, bookstores, and cafes. So it's a whole going operation. That's a hell of a way to make a living in your cultural neighborhood. You know, let's make people enemies amongst themselves. But divide and conquer is a strategy, isn't it? Top secret in America. In July of last year, the Washington Post released Top Secret America, a series of articles that detailed the results of a two-year investigation into the rapidly expanding world of homeland security, intelligence, and counterterrorism. You know, they're doing most of their motherfucking work on this ground instead of, you know, taking a look elsewhere where perhaps a lot of this is, you know, being started off-site. Most of it, I have to say, on a personal level, I think is bullshit. I think that people are sick and tired of the fanaticism and the religious fanaticism on both sides of the drink here. I think things are changing sociologically within you know, societies in different countries, especially repressed countries like Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan. I think people are just sick and fucking tired of it all. And this Occupy movement gives some credibility, credence to that ideal. What Brian's saying is what kills him is that the police department can put GPS on your car and track you. It's bad enough when people have that as an option, but it seems that it could be considered entrapment. Well, that's why I say, Brian, we have to support the ACLU very, very generously because they need a whole shitload new battalions of lawyers. Anyways, there you've got it, a rapidly expanding world of homeland security, intelligence, and counterterrorism. Does the word Nazi or fascist come to mind at all? But, of course, those can be useful in the implementation of disaster capitalism. As we all know, it takes crisis, an ongoing crisis, to begin to kick people out of government service and to put everything into privatization for profit, ultimately by the 1%. Motherfuckers. Anyway, pardon my French, madears. I sound like Dusty. I know. I shouldn't take her call lines there. The National Security Agency intercepts and stores more than 1.7 billion emails, phone calls, and other types of communication every single day, darling. Every damn day they're out there pounding your shit down. Whew, God, that's just ridiculous and incredible. And you're paying for it, too. Other domestic spying would include at least 72 fusion centers across the U.S., which collect local domestic police information and merge it into a multi-jurisdictional intelligence center. And I'm going to tell you what, I'll bet you. You'd think they're in Washington. I'll bet they're in New York, those multi-jurisdictional intelligence centers. According to a recent report, and that's information from the ACLU, these centers share information from federal, state, and local law enforcement and some private companies. Well, we know who those private companies are, don't we? To secretly spy on Americans. You know what? I'll bet you that the files in human, what do they call that division in corporate, human resources, the people who keep your records and hire and fire and give you raises, I'm going to bet you that there's plug-ins with many corporations into that system right there. And it's illegal. It's basically, if any of this went to court by good lawyers of the ACLU, and was put up against it. This is getting old. This is getting very old. I still think that the asshat Republican independent idiots out there that are supportive of hate, fear-mongering, warmongering, and Republican dynamics of government, those people are very few. They're just very vocal, and they get up and get out because they're wanting to find that opportunity to win the lotto and be another part of the, you know, the littler percent. I think the majority of people are getting sick and tired of all this crap. I think Occupy is bringing a lot of this to the surface. And the more informed you are about all of this, the better off you are. You can share this information with your neighbors and friends who don't know what's going on. Listen, Electronic Frontier Foundation documented thousands of violations of the law by the FBI intelligence operations from 01 to 08. The estimate that there are over 4,000 such violations per year. If they can bring this, if they bring this to court, this can get shut down. Obama issued an executive order to strengthen the Intelligence Oversight Board, an agency which is supposed to make sure that FBI, CIA, and other special agencies are following the law. Nobody noticed that this was going on. WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, who has triggered a great deal of action across this planet and who can be called one of the authors of Occupy. The publication of U.S. diplomatic cables by Wiki and then by mainstream news outlets sparked condemnation by the Obama administration, who said the publication of accurate government documents was nothing less than an attack on the United States. Now, that's just not real, because many foreign journalists for a couple of hundred years have been doing the same goddamn thing. But they've been doing it as it's been spoon-fed to them in back circles. So there's what they're trying to do is absolutely wrong. The Attorney General announced a criminal investigation and promised that it wasn't just saber-rattling. Government officials, well, they're trying to get their hands on him. Government officials warned the State Department employees not to download the publicly available documents. A State Department official and Colombian officials warned students that discussing WikiLeaks or linking documents to social networking sites could jeopardize their chances of getting a governmental job. A position that lasted several days until reversed by Colombian officials. At the time that this article came out, the Obama administration continued to try to find ways to prosecute the publishers of WikiLeaks. In other words, they've got a little friggin' war going on against Julian Assange and all of the anonymous crowd, the hacktivists, who works so goddamn hard to get this information. Now, let me tell you something, man. In the midst of all of this going down with Anonymous and all of these wonderful hacktivist people who have made so many things happen online and brought an end to a lot of very bad practices all over the planet, one of the things they have done for the FBI, as the FBI has been actively chasing them, is they brought down one of the largest kiddie pornography rings online ever to have been seen. There were over 28,000 individuals involved, and Anonymous got the goods, the evidence, and presented it to the FBI on every one of them and gave them that case anonymously. But you know, they did take some credit for it. They said that's what they did. And who else could? Because, you know, you have to remember that the Anonymous hacktivists are a group as large as, I imagine, it swells between 50 to 100,000 different very talented programmers and hackers that are enabled and have cause to work on the side of what's good and right and bring enlightenment to the rest of us. Certainly they've done a lot of other good deeds, but I think it really bears an incredible reflection when you realize just exactly, I mean, they gave the FBI all of these nasty people. And I think there's probably a lot of FBI people that are going, geez, what is going on in our world? Well, we got these wonderful people have just handed us the goods on all of these terrible, the worst kind of criminality other than murder, you know, child pornographers and pedophiles, and they brought the goods on that many worldwide and gave the FBI everything they needed to address this through Interpol and all of the different agencies. Are you hearing much about that? No. You got to be keeping your eye on the Anon group to know these things. Do I think it's a bunch of horseshit? No, because it's been published here and there in the trades of the U.S. Not intelligence, but police services. They're talking about drawing up all kinds of warrants, and they publish that stuff. So the WikiLeaks crowd, they're doing the good stuff. They're doing what needs to be doing. They're opening Pandora's box. We need that box open. And Brian is telling me it's a sick, sick world. Fixed news, and News Corp tells lie after lie to the point of creating their news. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But Wiki tells the truth, and they want it shut down, locked up, and thrown out. Well, yeah, because people want control. If they can control your fear, then they can make you pay more. That's basically what the Catholic Church has done for 2,000 years. They're the Romans, you know? Come on, get hip, baby. You know that. Shit. Well, censorship of books by our intelligence community has been going on. This year, the CIA demanded extensive cuts from a memoir by former FBI agent Ali H. Sufan. I believe he was on Keith Olbermann recently, in part because he made the agency look bad. That isn't tough to do, though. Sufan's book detailed the use of torture methods on captured prisoners and mistakes that led to 9/11. Similarly, a 2011 book on interrogation methods by former CIA agent Glenn Carl was subjected to extensive blackouts. The CIA, under the Obama administration, continues to push for censorship, blocking the publication of photos and U.S. soldiers abusing prisoners. This is all what you thought was SOP for Dick Cheney and his crowd and Mr. Sock Puppet in the Oval Office at that time. But, you know, our enlightened, erudite, beautiful, let the fires kick the tires, it's election season again. President has done all of this. He has anchored all of this during his term, as well as, you know, played footsie with Wall Street bankers to the tune of bringing the population, the constituency, a lot of the people who worked hard to put him in that office, basically. He sees it more importantly that the bankers gave him the money to buy all the airtime to talk his shit and get you to vote for him. But boy, oh boy, I'll tell you what, it's Kool-Aid stand time again. I'm wondering who's going to step up and buy a pitcher. In 2009, President Obama reversed his position of 3 weeks earlier than that, in May, and refused to release photos of U.S. soldiers abusing prisoners. Do you remember that? I remember that he wasn't going to prosecute Dick Cheney for torture and all the rest of them. Do you know how upsetting that? Well, of course, you were there. You had your feelings. Technological spying. You know, the Bay Area transit system in August of this year is hearing rumors of protest against fatal shootings by their police. They shut down the cell service in four stations. You remember that going on? When BART shut down the cell phones? I mean, they put people in peril of their lives, because when they're down there in those tunnels and on those trains, if emergencies arise and they need cell phone service, they're shut out of luck. They're being censored. Western companies sell email surveillance software to repressive regimes in China, Libya, and Syria to use against protesters of human rights activism. Did you know that? Let me tell you that one again. Our companies are free world, free market. God, is that bullshit? Companies, people out there designing the algorithms that will enable email surveillance on different systems, software like that, to repressive regimes in China and in Libya and in Syria to use against protesters and human rights activists. Well, all three of those countries are also shooting people in the back in the streets. I understand that Barbara Walters went and interviewed the President Assad of Syria today. I'd like to see that. I'll have to go to ABC. But my goodness, I mean, surveillance cameras and monitoring residents in high crime areas, street corners, and other governmental buildings has become SOP. That means standard operating procedure. That shit's going down, man. Every day it's going down. If I go out and get on a little moped and go on downtown to old Florida town here, which has, you know, the two main streets, and go up and down on that, my whole trip from getting to the end of my block here and on that little cross street, from there all the way back to that point, it's going to be monitored and surveilled by cameras. And frankly, I smoked 2 years, and it isn't pretty, and I don't like my fat ass hanging out all over government cameras. Do you? Does that get up your ass at all? It's like, hey, I don't exactly dress like it, but I figure there's some kind of governmental Walmart site where they've got pictures of all of the fat people or all of the ridiculously looking people or the people that have strange glasses or googly eyes or something like that on their site that says government Walmart captures. We got a sense of humor there, I suppose, but maybe not. So police department computers ask for and receive daily lists from utility companies with addresses and names of every home address in the area. You believe that shit? Think about the deeper. Go long with this, folks. Go really long with this. I mean, to think about it, police department computers are programmed to automatically ask for and receive daily lists from utility companies with addresses and names for every home address in their area. Oh, my God. This is 1984 coming to your head. Computers and police cars and everybody. Catch that shit. This is for our safety. Where does the line go? Well, we, of course, know they've crossed the line. The Obama administration has made no serious effort to cut back on these new technologies spying on citizens. You know, this is, it's just crazy. When the Bush government was caught hiring private planes from a Boeing subsidiary to transport people for torture to other countries, the Bush administration successfully asked for the federal trial court to dismiss a case by detainees tortured because having a trial would disclose state secrets and threaten national security. Those clowns couldn't extract state secrets out of, you know, the fellow with the incredibly, you know, overgrown face, head, and whole place there. I mean, they didn't get it. This guy just sort of basically started spilling beans, you know? Yeah. There's a thought, Brian, that maybe home-based marijuana growers are going to be the first to go totally solar. I would think there's that Bloom Box out there in Silicon Valley that's being experimented with too, and they're trying to get that down to a small home price. Now this is completely off the grid. You're paying for your own, or you're generating all of your own energy with the Bloom Box, and that's, they're trying to get under a couple of $1,000 for people to put that in. That's just fucking fabulous, because that kind of sustainability is also a security, you know, of your rights and freedoms. It's just incredible. The Obama administration successfully asked the U.S. Supreme Court not to apply First Amendment and to allow the government to criminalize humanitarian aid and legal activities of people providing advice or support to foreign organizations which are listed on the government list as terrorist organizations. The ACLU, I happen to know, I got a letter from my crowd about it, is doing a real puppet dance on this one. They are really pissed off. Just listen to what I'm saying here. The Obama administration successfully asked the U.S. Supreme Court not to apply the First Amendment and to allow the government to criminalize humanitarian aid and legal activities of people providing advice or support to foreign organizations which are listed on the government list of terrorist organizations. And it doesn't take much to get listed as a terrorist organization. The name of my little manufacturing company, and I'm an Irish-American kid, is called Daughters of ISIS. And it's my sister and myself. And the reason we named it that is because I am a anthropological, cultural, student who actually adores not just the archetypes and the iconography of Egypt, but the essence teachings there. And Isis is a mother goddess. And at the time we created that business, our mom had just passed over, so Daughters of Isis. But on the basis of that, I could be mistaken as someone providing, humanitarian aid to, terrorist organizations because just of a name that I call myself. It's true. It's not as far-fucking-fetched as you might think. Just think about the fuck-ups of these bimbos that are hired to do a job in this country anymore. Critical thought has been done only by the people who rebuke the system and establishment and have done so for about 30 years. And those are the people that are occupying and who are rabble-rousing right now and who have been busy for a long time. I'm not talking about the far-right Christian or the survivalist crowds who seem to be, everybody thinks, no, they're other-led. I'm talking about unique individuals, and I know quite a few of them, and I think there are more than we realize, but I'm talking about folks who use critical thought. We are told right now that 85% of the people aren't using critical thinking. They're other-driven, That's why... That's exactly why people are spending so much time looking at these buffoons in the Republican, campaign run right now. But there has been a lot. There has been a lot going on. I would suggest going over and taking a look at this article on Alternet. It's really, and I'm going to put the link in the chat room for you. It's a really eye-opening article, giving you a whole lot of information. I would suggest reading it, and I'm only going to mention it at the end, because it's something that I've always been concerned about and still am. I know a lot of you are too. thank you, Brian, for all your contributions there today. I'm going to say a little something about Bradley Manning that's from this article. Army Private Bradley Manning has kept leaking thousands of government documents to WikiLeaks. And these documents expose untold numbers of lies by U.S. government officials, wrongful killings of civilians, we've seen that right on the video, policies to ignore torture in Iraq, information about who is held in Gitmo, cover-ups of drone strikes and abuse of children, and much more damaging information of U.S. malfeasance. For months, he's been held in solitary confinement, forced by guards to sleep naked. And when asked about how Manning was being held, President Obama personally defended the conditions of his confinement, saying he had been assured they were appropriate and meeting our basic standards. Let me tell you what. Never again will I put a vote down for anyone that I have not duly, diligently found out where the fuck they go, where they come from, what their ideas are, what their experience was. It was my practice to read something that the politician had written. I read The Audacity of Hope, and it still is one of the best books I've ever read. Who wrote it, now I question. I really do. This has been Here Be Monsters. I have gone on and on. Janelle, thank you so much for being with me today again. Brian, as usual, good sir, thank you. All of the guests who have been in and out, thank you so much. Go on over to Roundtree 7. Give us a look-see. There's some really wonderful stuff over there. We'll be back tomorrow. As I said before, this is Here Be Monsters. We're on at 5 p.m. every weekday until 6. And my name is Gwendolyn Berry. I'm on the Atlantic side of South Florida, waiting for all of the rest of it to come around the Dry Tortuga too. And please, once again, say a prayer for Kevin Blanche. Thank you all, and that would be it today.